Is the private sector back in business, and will we benefit if it is?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, some cash-filled companies go shopping for other companies, some hang on to their money, and some famous bailout recipients start paying the government back. Is the private sector really as healthy as it seems? But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The Dow is up 11 points at 11,381. The NASDAQ up about 0.2%, and the S&P 500 also up 0.2%. Looks like the tax package that was worked out between President Obama and Republicans in Congress will pass the Senate. A test vote is set for next Monday. Also, the government reported this morning that the U.S. trade deficit has narrowed as exports rose and imports fell. Now let's get to the private sector. There's news this morning of another big deal in the works. Community Health Systems is bidding more than $3 billion for its rival Tenet Healthcare. A joint company would own almost 200 hospitals in the U.S. This is just the latest big deal as companies try to take advantage of their stockpiles of cash. Let's turn to Chris Lowe. He's chief economist at FTN Financial, and he's here with me this morning in our New York studio. Good to see you, Chris.
Good to see you.
Well, we heard about another big deal, this healthcare deal. It seems like we hear about one of these acquisitions just about every week or more than one. Are companies really ready to start taking risks again with their money?
Well, that's a little bit of what's going on. Sure, you don't make a $3 billion acquisition if you're not willing to take any risk at all. But the other thing that's going on and has been a theme for years is controlling costs. The reason you make an acquisition like this is because there's economies of scale, and that usually means cuts are in the works.
Cuts to jobs? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, what's unusual about this is that normally mergers are late cycle activity. This is the kind of thing that companies do when they've already done the big expansion in plant and equipment. They've already hired people. The job markets are tight and productivity is the only way to squeeze out growth. It's very unusual for early in the business cycle.
So we don't benefit really in terms of jobs as an economy with all of these acquisitions and mergers going on?
Well, certainly not short run, no. In fact, the sort of standard assumption is that the first thing you do in a merger is cut about 10% of the workforce. Long run, it means more productivity. It means these companies are more competitive and they'll hire. But, you know, we've been talking about long run now for 3 years.
All right. Another 3 year situation, or 2.5 at least. We've heard this week that AIG, the big insurance giant that was bailed out to the tune of $180 billion, has laid out a plan, and the Treasury Department may actually make a profit on the AIG bailout. And we heard that Citigroup, one of the biggest bailed out banks, is about to get itself out from under the government's wing as well. Are these financial institutions really as healthy as they seem?
Well, look, the big shock here is AIG. I don't think anybody thought at the time they would be able to pay the government back, and certainly not this quickly. However, there is still a lot of heavy lifting to do. The first thing these guys had to do was get back to where they were profitable. They now have to start selling assets so that they can, not be too big to fail, I guess.
A lot of toxic assets still left on the books. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thanks for coming in and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Numbers released this morning in Beijing show higher than expected trade in and out of China. China's exports reached a new peak in the month of November. This could be a good sign for the global economy, but as Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai, it might be too much of a good thing.
China's exports are up a third over last year. Imports, even more. But don't celebrate yet, Beijing.
This certainly will add a lot of pressure for China to allow its currency to appreciate faster.
Economist Liu Ligong says from now on, news of good times in China will produce an international response, sort of like, we're happy you're doing so well, but there's this currency thing. U.S. lawmakers would like China to hurry up the appreciation of its currency because they say cheap Chinese exports have taken away American jobs. Economist Leo says allowing China's currency to appreciate would be good for China, too. Making the renminbi worth more may turn more Chinese into consumers, which would help balance an economy that's weighed heavily towards exports and investment. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
A new study shows video game sales were up 8% last month. The NPD Group report could be good news for gaming companies as they head into the holidays, but as Marketplace's David Gurra reports, the profits may not get split evenly.
Last month, shoppers got to connect. That's not spelled how you think it is. It's K-I-N-E-C-T. The accessory for the Microsoft Xbox 360 hit the market in November, and this season it's the it gift for gamers. The Kinect is a very small box packed with motion recognition software and a 3D camera. It costs about $150. In November, Microsoft unloaded 2.5 million Kinects worldwide. That's enough to give one to every resident of Toronto, Canada. The company says it expects to sell 5 million by the end of the year. And that's a big deal for Microsoft, which for a while has been trying to catch up to its competitors. For the sixth straight month, the Xbox outsold those competitors, the Sony PlayStation 3 and the Nintendo Wii. So, what does this mean for Sony and Nintendo? Is this a zero-sum game? Analyst Arvind Bhatia with Stern Agee says no.
The amount of time that people are spending playing video games has been going up.
And perhaps more importantly to Microsoft, the amount of money they're spending on them has gone up too. In Washington, I'm David Gurra for Marketplace.
And finally, someone has got caught carrying out the idea we've all had. A man in Seattle was driving in the carpool lane with a passenger, or at least it looked that way. He took his kid's stuffed doll from the Nickelodeon show Go Diego Go and strapped it into the passenger seat. The officer who pulled him over said he noticed something was up because of Diego's huge, unblinking eyes. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Iowa lawmakers are debating a cut in funding for sabbaticals to help balance the state budget. It may be a win for the Hawkeye State, but will the universities be the losers?
The first sabbatical that I took in Switzerland probably led directly to what's now, you know, over $100 million in research funding.
I'm Tess Vigeland, putting a dollar value on the sabbatical, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.